Hey everybody, welcome to New World Pictures Podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and some of the movies that they nearly released. I'm Ryan, with me as always is Mark.
Oh, spring has sprung, the birds are chirping, their flowers have blossomed, I got some vitamin D, I feel like a new person.
And Erica?
I miss May. I miss marvelous May.
Nobody does.
Guys, I miss my seagulls.
I miss my seagulls.
That's right. That's Mark's miserable marvelous May 2 is now over and in the history books.
Thank you, everybody. No. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
No.
Thank you. So glad that you packed this coffee shop in.
That's right. That's right. But we put that on the shelf. We've got plenty more Marvel selections to come next year. But for now, we've put pause on that. And we are now in to June Vroom. For those of you who are NWPP VIPs, you will know last year we did June Gloom, where we talked about the saddies of New World, some of the sad, serious movies. But this year, we wanted to do something a little bit different, so we're going to be talking about all the movies that New World released with all the fast cars and chases and lots of crimes, criminals. June Vroom, everybody. And this
we
is
might even slip in a horror movie into this one, just for shits and giggles.
You never know. You never know what we're going to do. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about a nearly New World movie. We're talking the original 1974 Gone in 60 Seconds. This is from H.B. Halicki, who was a guy who owned junk cars. That's how this movie came about. He self-financed this movie. How does it become nearly New World is what I'm getting at. It does play with a lot of New World movies. And so when he went to a drive-in, it played with a bunch of different New World films. It played with Death Sport, even. It went that far into things. Death Sport. Maybe some of the movies we will be talking about in this particular month. But there are, I think it played with like the Great Texas Dynamite Chase. It played with some other, car chase movies that New World released. So, and it is listed in IMDb as that New World did a 1978 re-release of this. I don't see that. But I will say that the way this movie came about is it was self-financed by H.B. Toby Halicki. He went by Toby. That was his nickname. And he self-financed and could have sent this out to the majors. But this major studios gave him contracts, but they were going to, when he read through the contracts, he realized it was not going to work out as well financially for him. So he decided, I'm going to do this by myself, and started to send it out around and did a lot of four-walling, which is I'm just taking this movie from theater to theater and touring it around myself. And did eventually lend it out to smaller studios who would help him out, because he would try to find space to play this movie wherever he could, however he could. He was trying to put this movie out. Much like the movie itself and the way that this movie is made, where he did it by any means necessary, because he self-financed, self-distributed, directed it. He's the main guy in it. He drives the main car that he has names for all the cars. They all dress up like they're in a Beastie Boys video, and they go out in these bad wigs.
Like they all were in Sabotage, the video. Or I wonder if they based that on this movie.
I would think that they had to.
And just like the Beastie Boys video, you can't really tell who is who after a while. You're just like, I don't know. Someone with sideburns and a blondish wig.
It's a bad wig and a mustache. I don't know. It's one of them.
Yep.
But do we need to know? No, we don't.
We don't. We know the main guy, and he drives around in Eleanor. That's the last one of all these movies. I will say about this movie, I've seen this one before. And so, Mark, this is your month. You put this on the list.
Yeah,
I did. And I really enjoy this movie for part of it. I mean, you have to get through the first hour, which is a bit of a slog. Yeah. Because it's a lot of... He didn't really write this movie. I have the Blu-ray for it. And on the Blu-ray, they have a special feature about how they made it. And they were like... And this went with everything that I looked up about it. That he had about 10 pages of an outline. Mm-hmm. And then they pretty much just improvised lots of the movie. Which
that tracks.
The movie does not look like this isn't the case.
But, for sure. There's even a scene that takes place early on in the movie where they're investigating the derailment of a train.
Yep.
And like, you don't have to be a genius to think there's no way that this poor, this low budget movie financed the derailing of a train.
Nope.
A train derailed and they went, everyone grab your camera. We're going to go and shoot over here.
100%.
And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. But luckily for you guys, I am a genius, so I did know that. So,
thank you. We knew it wouldn't go by you, Erica.
I had to look it up on IMDb. So, you know, now you know where I am in the spectrum.
Mark, I had to think when we were watching it, I was like, how much is Mark loving all the shots of old Long Beach?
This is a love story for Long Beach.
Oh, this is your love letters.
Also a little bit of Carson, too.
Yes. In fact, where the Porsche driving experience is where a bunch of it is shot, where the experience is now.
Okay.
Teresa and I watched it, and we just kept spending all of our time going, oh, that's where that is, and that's where that is, and that's where that is, because it is... So much of it takes place in Long Beach, and so much of Long Beach has changed. Like, there's one shot that the old Civic Center that was built in the 1920s is still there. Now that's gone. That was replaced by they tore it down for reasons I can't explain and put up the new Civic Center.
Progress, Mark.
Progress was not... Sometimes progress isn't better, everybody. But it was great to see that. I haven't seen that in a movie, like the actual old Civic Center. I've only seen pictures of it. But there's so much of Long Beach is the same. The part when they are in the, executive towers. That is actually when I would run half marathons. That was the final stretch before you got to the finish line. And it was just... To me, watching it and seeing all these shots of Long Beach and Carson was enough to keep me riveted at the television the entire time.
But for those that haven't previously lived in Long Beach or live in Long Beach, the beginning of it is a bit of a slog because there are some scenes of dialogue, but there's also lots of scenes where people, you are hearing people talk and, you know, that are ADR'd in. And
sugarcoat it. The first hour makes almost no sense. You don't know anybody's name other than Hawkins. And they're naming the cars, but it's all voiceover. It's all just shots and voiceover. And then sometimes the voiceover's blurry for no reason. Sometimes it's in the dark with poor lighting. It's tough to follow in the beginning. Of us who are geniuses, allegedly, were getting a little snoozy because not much was happening. They couldn't tell whose voice was who.
Well, that's an issue for sure.
It's hard because this movie, the main characters of the movie are cars,
mm-hmm.
not people.
Yeah.
So the people are there.
Eleanor.
Right, but all the cars they steal,
right?
It is about them stealing at the time extremely expensive, rare, souped up, some not souped up. So they steal like Rolls Royces and limousines and Cadillacs. Every scene is really set up to showcase a car. The characters, the human characters, are just a way to get screen time for these cars, which... As someone who really loves cars and has loved cars ever since I was little, this played even that first hour, which I admit is a little slow. Totally get it. It was like, oh, look at that car. Oh, look at that car. So
Erica's miserable, marvelous June. It's Erica's miserable, marvelous June. All these movies are going to be about cars. And I get it now, Mark. I get it. I understand now.
I didn't care about the really ridiculous plot.
This is like 18 again. You guys have switched places.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, there's so many subplots in this movie that don't go anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And not only did you get great shots of cars, you got to see, in my opinion, LAX in its prime. No two stories, surface lots, no traffic.
Everyone looks really fancy, dressed up and happy.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a movie that encapsulates Los Angeles in like had a real prime time where so many things were clicking right, and that alone, if you've thought about traveling to Los Angeles, if you live in Los Angeles, this is a great time capsule of a Los Angeles that by and large doesn't exist anymore today.
I thought you were going to say, if you want to visit Los Angeles, you need to time travel.
That too.
You need to visit at another time.
In 1974. Go back 50 years and you will be in the perfect Los Angeles.
Well, also they shot a lot of the movie on Sundays. So he shot most of the stuff on Sundays because I think a lot of it wasn't permitted. But the people that were looking out for that stuff weren't out on Sundays. So they went around and shot everything on Sunday because they knew they wouldn't get caught.
Well, that may be true. But that didn't stop gawkers on the side of the road watching these scenes take place. And they are obvious just locals who are like, oh, they're shooting a movie. We'll just stand here and watch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they had no qualms. There was no tying off the sidewalks, being like, people, you got to move back. You're going to be in the shot. They're like, forget it. You're here.
Yeah.
Watch. We don't care.
Yeah. They incorporated real people. The people in the movie are people that he worked with, that he were friends of his. The people that play cops in the movie are cops. The people he used just real people in just about all of it. Encapsulating in, not to skip, but this is a 40-minute car chase scene.
Without a doubt, one of the best car chase scenes I've ever watched in my life.
I love it. And I think you just have to kind of get through that. I mean, if you're coming at this and listening to this and you've watched the remake of Gone in 60 Seconds, the plot, if you want to call it that, of the original is kind of the same. They're trying to steal a bunch of these cars. Now, they don't have the whole setup of the remake where they have to do it in a certain time frame for certain reasons, but they're all trying to take care of these cars. And this is the last car, and they finally get the last car in the list, and then that car elicits a 40-minute chase scene.
Yeah,
which is a blast. And the reason why I think I like it so much is very kinetic. It looks very real. And part of that is because it is. H.B. Halicki, who's the main character, his character name is so weird that I've seen this before and I did not remember it. And I had to look it up to be like, what was this character's name? Because you would not catch it just like looking at the movie. It's like
his name is
Mandrian Pace.
Yeah, Mandrian Pace with Pumpkin Chase, Eugene Chase, Stanley Chase. Is that all the cars? Am I naming the cars?
Yeah, these are a bunch. Yeah, Chase family. There's also Pace. He is that one guy that I think works for him who's getting married, and he has that wedding. And then the guy never gets to go on his honeymoon and, you know.
Right. The Fredo of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a good time for us to throw in our Letterboxd synopses. Just to finish the thought, H.B. Halicki is the stunt driver for this car.
Right.
These stunts are being done. They crash almost 100 cars. Though the guy who does the camera on the movie says that that's maybe not an accurate number because they would crash a car and then they would like use the car again if it had like a good side, or they would crash it in the back, or they would do like, so they would, but, and he owned all these cars. He got all these cars on auction. So all of the cars he got, like the garbage trucks, the police cars, he would just get all these, cause that's what he did. He would take these cars and he would just buy these junk cars, fix them up and sell them. That's what he would do. And then he started doing that with real estate. So then he got into real estate and he started making money with real estate. And then he started making movies. And this is his first. This is not his last movie. I haven't seen his other movies, but just to say that he's I'm interested because they're just filled with these wild stunts that are like, they don't feel safe because they probably aren't, you know?
Well, they certainly weren't.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to. But
they
were not safe at all.
I mean, get very... to it, guys. We don't need to talk for 40 minutes about it just to get to the meat. We don't need to do a lot of setup. Hold on,
it's Erica's Marvelous June, so I want to really
milk
this.
Not Erica's Marvelous June.
I want to get the most out of this.
This is payback for May.
It had a very the stunts have a very Hal Needham quality where you're like, oh, that guy almost got killed.
In fact, during the 40-minute chase scene, there's a scene where the lead character Mandrian Pace, who is actually driving the car, plows into a streetlight at like 85 miles an hour. Now, kids, this is before CGI, and they didn't have enough money for green screens. So this is legit car crashes that are happening.
Yep.
And what happened, because we were watching this last night, and I saw him plow into the streetlight, and I went, holy shit, like that, he like straight up plowed into that streetlight. I looked it up, and what happened is that there was a Cadillac that was supposed to brake right as he made the turn and didn't hit the brake fast enough and nicked the back of his car, which turned him into plowing into a streetlight at 85 miles an hour. Now, according to IMDb, he went unconscious because, kids, this is before airbags and also before seatbelts were a real thing. I'm sure he was wearing a seatbelt, but it wasn't mandatory at that time. And supposedly...
It may have only been a lap belt.
Probably was, because this is like a 1968 or 69 Mustang that he's driving. Supposedly, when he came back to consciousness, all he said was, did we get the shot?
Yeah.
Because this was a guy that was destined to make a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what he wanted more than anything. And he was willing to risk his own life, which he almost did, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But the scene when he plows into the streetlight, to me, was shocking because it's one shot and you think, holy
shit. Yeah, that's true. That was very surprising.
That was serious.
No, they say on the disc that he basically, they said, okay, we're a whole day is shot. And he basically said, no. He just backed out and drove away. And they just didn't bother to report that they busted that whole light. And so, they just went on and shot other stuff that day. But I mean,
well, it may have been the other jump that he said that. So I might be confusing.
The big jump that they shoot from several different angles. That is one that basically crunched his spine.
Yeah. It crunched his vertebrae in four places and he walked with a permanent limp after that.
Did not stop him from doing all the stunts in these other movies. And unfortunately, stunt work eventually kills him. But
yes.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. In the late 80s. So shooting the sequel.
Gone in 60 Seconds 2 was what...
But it was not the actual stunt. It was a stray thing that happened within the stunt that just... That he got caught in it and got killed. And it was kind of a freak accident. But again, you look at some of these... You look at these things and you're like, these stunts are not safe. But that is why the chase is so thrilling. I think it is so fun. It is such a... it's such a good time for 40 minutes.
Not only that, they're talking about it on the radio, because I guess back then on the radio, it was really exciting to talk about a police chase that you couldn't otherwise watch.
Right. But, correct.
But it's worth pointing out that the car chase scene is incredible, not only for the fact that it lasts for 40 minutes and it covers, well, most of Ocean Boulevard time and time again, but as parts of Carson, it's that it's a low budget movie. So they're not getting multiple shots where they can do a lot of quick edits that build tension because, you know, you have a close up of a fender turning or wheel spinning or just missing a pole and then another cut and then another shot of the car come around. It is long shots of these cars truly doing donuts, spinning out, avoiding things, smashing into other cars in single long shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are real car chases that are happening in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when he's driving into head-on traffic, it's not a bunch of jump cuts where you could see that they would choreograph it. It is right. Long shots.
Long shots of him, yeah.
Traffic coming towards him.
I believe that they had a car ahead and it was one of those like old school, you'll know the car. I don't remember the name of the car, Mark, but you'll know the name. But it's one of those like old, like kind of family cars where they have like kind of the big door that swings open for the trunk. And they had the cameraman sit in one of those with just the door off.
Right.
So he could just sit there with the camera and then film out the back of this car. And that's essentially that's what they had.
I mean, no, it's wild.
It is really like, it's the filmmaking is very raw, but
yes,
but it is also restored for this Blu-ray. So I think the movie looks really good. And I think that's the copies that are online right now
I rented it on Amazon and it looked great.
Because the restoration they've done on this is fantastic.
It doesn't help the movie be more coherent from a story standpoint.
Mm-mm. No.
It doesn't. The audio is questionable at times. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of dips in the audio where it's kind of hard to hear what people are talking about. But really, it doesn't matter because they're just setting up another car chase scene. So, in fact, there's one car chase scene that is done almost entirely in the dark of night with no lighting.
Yep.
And you don't know what the hell is going on except for headlights going around.
Mm-hmm. That was a very frustrating part of the movie for Erica.
Yep. Yeah.
Would you say it was like a Trial of the Incredible Hulk or Hulk Returns kind of frustrating? Or
no, because I love those two movies.
Okay. How about a Captain America frustrating?
Well, I think it was more. It was just mostly a. It was mostly just a bummer because it felt like it probably was pretty cool. Like they were probably actually sneaking around like a drag race or a racetrack or something at night, just kind of filming like on the down low. So it was like, darn! I just wish this was a little clearer because it's probably very, What's the word for it that I'm trying to think of, Ryan?
Not like Punisher?
Low budget?
No.
Mysterious? Curious?
No.
Bizarre?
Like, guerrilla style filmmaking.
There we go. also, they introduce an interesting plot twist in that they steal a Cadillac that the trunk is lined in heroin. And you would think these people who are, their job is to steal cars. So obviously they're not coming from, I don't know, potentially a strong moral base, but mm-hmm. that is a bridge too far.
Yep. Because they burn the car.
And they're mm-hmm. like, no, this is not a world we want to get into. In fact, we got to get out of this. And they sort of allude to it. And I think if the movie had a higher budget, they would have explored this more. Of getting into the drug world introduces another element of conflict for us that mm-hmm. we don't want to get into. We are ultimately, the plot is that they're trying to scam insurance companies. That's like their thing. They figured out a way that so many cars are stolen in Los Angeles that they can steal a certain number of them, report them stolen. They replace the VIN numbers on them, and they can then sell them to offshore people. And it just disappears into the ether of insurance claim paperwork.
Okay.
Introducing drugs into it now brings in that, Mark, a whole new element.
That's a much clearer explanation than the movie gives you.
I feel like that was pretty clear, though.
Well, you're a genius. That's why.
Of course. Huzzah, as geniuses say to one another.
I don't know. I've never heard that before.
Right. No, I don't hang out. You're the only genius I know. I don't think the movie explains that super, super well, though. They do have a nice sequence where they do show you how they like take junk cars and take all the important stuff off of it and then rebuild the car.
Right.
And take the VIN number and how they get all that stuff, you know, off of the old car to like put on the new car. But the insurance scam of it, you know, they work for the insurance, but the scam part of it was not totally clear to me. Again, I wasn't worried about it though, because I know we got a great car chase coming. So I'm not really.
Well, they can't tell you how the sausage is made, Ryan, or you'll just be out there, you know, flipping VINs and, you know, dipping motors up on the high low and flip flopping on the carburopers. You know how cars work. You guys get it.
A real
mechanic
thief
over here.
A little thief in our midst here. Car thief in our midst.
Mm-hmm. Lock your car doors.
Yep.
This movie does well, that doesn't help. Like, it doesn't make any difference.
Not for a genius like you.
This movie does actually a surprisingly good job, at showing you in 1974 exactly how to steal a car.
It was so easy then.
But they show you all the tools you need, exactly how to start a car from the fuse,
It's this simple. You go up to somebody who is getting out of their car and you go, hey, you got a phone call in there. And they go, I do?
Yeah.
You got to go answer it, bro. And then you get in their car and they've already left their keys and you drive off with it. It's that simple. Yeah. It's so easy.
So many people in 1974 left their keys and their baby tigers in their car. Like, they didn't even think about it or care.
They didn't even worry about it.
So what?
Okay, question for you. I know we're not to final questions, nor do we do this in nearly New World episodes, but what happened to that tiger?
Where's that baby tiger at?
Well, that was the thing. Erica's uncle, she told me about this. When in the 70s, he had the whole business going, which was tiger security for cars, where you could get a baby tiger and that would be your security. So it was before we had alarms.
Yeah.
And so it was just a live tiger. And, you know, that was how her husband made your uncle made his living. Was just loaning out these tigers, but you only get them for so long. Like, they do need to eat, and, you know, so it was a...
Your uncle Joe Exotic from Tiger King?
I mean, I don't want to say either way, but, you know, the tagline was just, welcome to the jungle, your car is super safe.
Right, right.
Welcome to the jungle, your car is super safe.
That's what Guns N' Roses ended up using. They used that jingle and they wrote their song off of it. Yeah,
it's all connected.
That was the original demo.
Well, it's just a local Ohio jingle, and they just found it. And, you know, who knew? Nobody wouldn't. They were like, no one's gonna know we're ripping this off.
No one's gonna know.
Only Erica and her uncle. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think back then, like, the bridge was, your car is safe, baby, right? I mean, it was more about car safety back then.
It really was more about that. Yeah, it was about
you don't need lock it, leave the keys in the ignition, you know? Like, there's a lot of verses. I don't need to get into it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. lot of verses.
It was a long song. It was a full 4.5 minutes.
It was actually 40 minutes. It was 40 minutes of songs. Yeah.
Right.
40 minutes of lyrics.
It was longer than Yes's first half of Relayer. It was a long, long half.
I'll just have to take your word for that, but yes. Take you at your word on that.
About 50% of our audience was lost right then.
I mean, if we had anyone catch that one, I don't know.
The World Pictures podcast.
I did want to bring up a fun fact here that I found in the AFI catalog listing about Gone in 60 Seconds, where they had the July 1974 world premiere in Long Beach, and it nearly provoked a riot when 2,000 people were turned away because the theater was already full, and Halicki had staged a grandiose stunt at the event, speeding to the theater in Eleanor, and with 10 police cars giving chase. And it comes to a climactic halt in front of the theater when Halicki, quote unquote, wiped out into Parnelli Jones's Cadillac Eldorado. Parnelli Jones was a racing automobile racer, and it ran into his Cadillac.
Wait, someone's real name was Parnelli Jones.
Yeah, I believe so.
So he was a race car driver, but now
mm-hmm. the names in this movie don't seem so weird.
Yes, very true. Okay, does it say what theater they were at?
He basically wiped out into this Cadillac Eldorado, which was leading at parade, celebrating the film's premiere. And the article noted that Halicki's is an article from Box Office Magazine, noted that Halicki's success in orchestrating the assistance of 4 city councils and police departments for the production, as well as the premiere, was unexplained.
Do you know what theater it was at, though? Does it say?
It does not. It just says in Long Beach, California.
I'm also imagining young Ryan being like, "Mom, could you please renew my subscription to Box Office Magazine? I just really want. Well, I just need to hear the latest."
I don't think in 1974 numbers. I was particularly worried about box office receipts at the time, but you know. But I appreciate that. Yeah,
Ryan was red and he cried a lot back then.
Yeah. That's a great yes and, Ryan. Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you. No huzzah for you, kind sir.
I never proclaimed to be a genius. Never. Not even a single time. That was how he kicked off the premiere, and then it started opening up in more theaters in LA and so on and so forth. It ends up making, as far as the producers will have you know, it ended up making $45 million. In totality.
Wow.
And it played, as I mentioned, when it played with Death's Port, it played for years. They would just play this. I mean, I think that's why it's confusing, because when I looked it all up, it played with so many different New World movies through so many different years in the 70s. It just was one of those movies, I think, that was just, they just kept making it available to everybody to like team up with your movie. And New World used it as another movie. A lot of times when New World movies went out and went around the country and they toured them, they would play a new movie and then they would tour with it one of their older films. So that's why it was confusing to me to see Gone with 60 Seconds played and paired with so many New World movies, because they used to play like the older movie with the newer one. But I think this one was just, he would just make it available, especially to an indie company like New World. Any indie companies that were needing another film, I think they made it possible. I mean, that's my guess.
This is your Pepsi to your Captain Morgan, or your Pepsi to your Jim Beam. Have you got a good mixer? You want to ruin a drink?
Who's ordering a rum and Peps?
No.
They're getting a rum and Coke.
I love a good rum and Peps.
Wait, you said good mixer, but you're talking about Pepsi, so where is this going? I don't understand.
I'm just saying it's the base to your cocktail. It is your vermouth.
I mean, if you have nothing else, I guess it's your dry
vermouth for your gin. It's your Sprite to your CC and Sprite.
If you have your Jim Beam and all you have is Pepsi and all the wheels on your car have been blown out and you have no way to order any food in from any food delivery service, then I guess, yeah, throw some whiskey in there with your Pepsi if you really legitimately have no other choice.
Look, when I order a Coke at a restaurant and they say, is Pepsi all right? I say, fuck yeah, it's all right. Give me more. And you know what? They like that. They like that.
Wow. They like that, huh? They like it?
Yeah.
The assertiveness.
They like that I'm a man that knows her at once.
Give me fucking two then. Yeah. Give me two of those fuckers.
Keep it.
Garcon, a chilled Pepsi, please.
Keep it fucking coming.
Whoa.
Get me two and start getting the third because I'm down in this shit. Woo. That's what's happening when I get served Pepsi.
Wow. Wow. Man. Wow.
When did your taste buds get removed? I never heard about this surgery.
In fact, I was at a restaurant yesterday in a
humble brag.
Very rural part of the country, and
humble brag.
Your idea of humble brag is odd,
dude. I was in the middle of nowhere yesterday, and I fucking ate somewhere, bro.
And my daughter ordered a Diet Coke, and the waitress goes, "Is it okay if it's Pepsi?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, it's fine." And the waitress said, you don't know how many people freak out when I tell them that it's Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, people have no shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pepsi is a delightful alternative when you're tired,
Mark,
of the humdrum Coke life.
They said They said it decades ago that Pepsi is a choice.
They said it's a choice. New generation. Look at me, everyone. This is what the new generation.
Oh boy!
Ew.
Oh no! No.
New. This face says new.
New. New. New. I don't know. That's right. They just said it's a choice. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Ultimately, it's a choice, fair. And that's you know, you have to make a choice. And a lot of people made said, "Oh, if it's a choice, I choose to not drink it."
Not me, though. Not me.
Not you.
I buy it on my own. I bring it home. I bring it into my home.
You didn't. You didn't have it handed to you off the back of a truck. You.
My point is, I look at all the soda options and I say, "Ooh,
right,
Pepsi Zero Mango. You're coming home with me."
I mean, it continues to be on shelves, so you're not alone in this regard, but I just don't know. I just don't know anyone else. But anyway, enough about Mark's lack of taste buds.
Pepsi chat.
We really need to hit up Pepsi about getting a sponsorship the way we talk about Pepsi on this podcast.
New World Pepsi Pictures Podcast. We should just say it all the time. I'm
nearly Pepsi, New World Pepsi.
What's the Pepsi sponsored? Pepsi brings you letterboxed synopsis of this episode.
This movie was directed by Pepsi presents. Licky Pepsi.
Gone in 60 Pepsi seconds. And now our 60 Pepsi seconds. I can't even say it. It's such a terrible word.
Final Pepsi questions, anyone?
Things you Pepsi loved and things you Coca-Cola hated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gone in 60 seconds. The Big Chase. Erica, did that turn your opinion about this movie around, that once you saw the chase? Because you were pretty upset with the movie going nowhere for a long time.
I wasn't upset. I was just bored. There's a difference. Subtle and nuanced, but you know, there's a difference.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
it comes out as anger, but I'll look for those subtleties next time.
Thank you. You probably will have a hard time distinguishing them or differentiating them, if you will, as you're not a genius, but you know, I'll try to help you as much as I can.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No, the chase is fun. It's a bit long, if I'm honest. It is.
What?
It's a bit long.
That could have gone on for another hour, and I would have.
When
been
it
so
gets
in.
Into, he's in the car dealership. I was like, okay. I mean, they just kept leaving enough space for him to sneak out. That was my beef. It's a small,
they had guns drawn, and they thought they had him stopped, and he was like, forget it.
And they just snuck out.
Through.
Yeah, he just drove through. All right.
Well, it taught me a little bit about, this movie taught me a couple of things. Number one, you know, let your buddy have his honeymoon. You know, yeah. You got to let your buddy have the honeymoon. Like, yeah. You know, he wants it. He wants to have it. I know you got to steal all these cars, but let him just do it. Because otherwise, he's going to make that anonymous call to the cops and you're going to get screwed. And you don't want that. But second,
he also beat him up. That was the final straw, right? So,
I mean, I still,
not only did he miss his honeymoon, but he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that helped, but I think the honeymoon is the real sticking point. That's just me. But the other part thing that I think that this movie taught you is that the cops kind of think like, look, we got him surrounded, and the only way somebody could get out of this is that they do this crazy thing that I highly doubt anyone could ever do. No one's going to take the crazy option.
Yeah.
But some people might. There's a crazy way out. When you're like, what do I do? I'm screwed. You got to switch on the crazy option in your mind.
Oh. No, that's true. Also, the car, Eleanor, as the chase progressed, seemed to repair itself.
Yeah.
It obviously gets much more updated, say, professional racing tires attached to it somehow during the race. Like, evidently, there was a pit crew that they cut out of the movie that did some repairs along the way.
They had to cut some stuff out, Mark. I mean, you know, they can't have this go on for 2 whole hours. You know, I mean, they gotta make some cuts.
Yes, they could have. Yes, I know. And I would have been fine with that.
If it was more of that chase, I would have accepted more of that chase. The chase is really super fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. And look, you don't have to have lived in Long Beach to appreciate it. It's so much fun.
But it does help. Like, at least take a vacation there and then pop this movie in.
Yeah. Yes. Take a vacation there, rent a car, drag race it wherever you want.
Yeah.
And then
listen.
Let us know what you think.
If you're looking to visit Long Beach, and I did love living there, so I mean this in the kindest way. But Long Beach gives you the impression that there's a Long Beach with waves and you might want to go surfing. Go ahead and leave the surfboard at home because there's no waves there.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful beach, but no waves.
And so, very long.
And it is long.
Long stretch of beach.
It is a long stretch of beach. And it's beautiful.
Beautiful beach to take a nice long walk on.
Long
for sure.
Walk or maybe a jog or ride a bike. But no surfing. So I'm saving you from renting, you the listener. I mean, not you guys, obviously, but you the listener from renting a surfboard thinking I'm going to go and catch a wave and get barreled in Long Beach. It's not going to happen.
No need to race to the beach in Long Beach. All right, guys?
No. But
once you do get there, make sure that the Tiger has a little bowl of water for your rented car.
Yeah, crack the windows, honestly.
Crack the windows.
Crack the windows.
Be cool.
I mean, you know, don't be an asshole to your security Tiger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But question, did the Long Beach Grand Prix predate this movie? Or did that come after? Was this the inspiration?
As a former resident, I think you not know that?
The Long Beach Grand Prix started in 1975.
Hmm.
So this may well have been the inspiration for the Long Beach Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Which part of it does take place on Ocean Boulevard. So.
Okay.
Good for them.
There you go.
That's that hotel.
In the 14 years that I lived in Long Beach, I never went to the Grand Prix. Not once. I could hear it from my house, but never actually went down there. Okay, so, Ryan, were asking.
So now you want to. Now you want to.
Now I have to travel.
What
back.
Is the hotel there that's there on Ocean? Because they cut to that, and they cut in very close to that, and it made me think of one of the hotels that it was in San Francisco. And it made me think, like, are we in San Francisco? But, like, up in North Beach kind of area?
Yeah.
But it is not. It is one of those that's right there on Ocean. I think it's still there. I just don't know.
Yeah, it is still there. It was So it was a hotel, and then it became a retirement home.
Ah,
and then sure. they were just doing a renovation when I moved in 2021. And I don't know what it is now, but they were renovating the whole building, presumably for apartments at that time. Again, during the race, you could see some buildings that aren't there anymore. For example, there's a building, and it's not worth, like, a podcast is not a good time to say, like, if you see this one scene where it kind of like goes down a hill, there's a building on one side, but there's an old 1920s.
But
building.
Here we go. Well, here
join is. Me if you will on this audio depiction of Long
this
Beach.
Audio tour of Long Beach.
Well, this might actually be interesting for people. There is a building.
Why start now, Mark? Why?
Hold on, guys. There's a building that they show that is not there anymore. It's now just a parking lot. But what the building, there was a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard that connected one building on one side of Ocean Boulevard. It was a busy a really busy street, even the 1920s. So they built a tunnel under there. And there were shops in this tunnel, and it connected these two different buildings. Now, they showed the building in the movie because it still existed. Now it's just a parking lot, and the tunnel is closed on both ends. But that tunnel, which still exists, though you can't access it, is the tunnel that is in the title of the Lana Del Rey's album. There's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard. And that is a legit tunnel that's under Ocean Boulevard that used to attach these two buildings. Oh. That's where I was going with that story.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
And you can still access that tunnel, but if you are trying to get between buildings, there is a security tagger in the middle.
Right. Yeah.
You cannot access that tunnel anymore. But mm-hmm. there is a tiger in there, and it is trapped,
and it is angry. That being trapped. And so, hungry.
So mm-hmm.
number one, careful. Somebody let that tiger out, but make sure not just anyone does it. You really should, mm-hmm. you should have animal control along.
Yeah. Call on a professional.
Yeah. Don't please, just do it on your
please
own.
Please do.
Unlike this movie, which decided, well, let's
Erica's,
do.
Or Erica's uncle.
Yeah.
He'll take care of it.
That's right. That was his business.
Tiger security. Rawr.
Subtle.
Rawr.
Unlike this this movie, which also then decided we can also do all the stunts, it's kind of amazing that this movie does, and to learn that there were more movies that this guy made, and he continued to make movies. I knew he passed away like making another movie. I didn't realize it was the sequel until this viewing. But he's made some other movies. One called, I believe, The Junk Man. Which, you know, that's what he did before. He was a junk man. He also made Deadline Auto Theft.
Okay. Probably a similar theme based upon the title.
And the cool thing about this Blu-ray with Gone in 60 Seconds is one of the special features is that you can watch just the stunt scenes from those other three movies.
Really?
So you can just watch the chase scenes of those movies. There's occasionally a couple scenes, though, of dialogue, and so I watched one of them, and it was like, actually, this looks like one that they actually had some scenes, and it's like, I kind of want to watch this, because it actually isn't just people being photographed from afar, and then just having somebody, like, later on construct a dialogue scene and record it in a studio, or in a mic somewhere in a room.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So it did look super fun. But again, it has that same sort of very, you know, just very kinetic. As the word I keep coming to is because they just feel like dangerous. These car chases feel dangerous. And it's not just slamming into a lot of cars, which they're doing. And those kind of scenes are fun, but I kind of feel like those are probably the safest to some degree because he's at least installed roll cages into the cars. And most of the cars they're crashing into are junk cars that he bought and purchased. So those are just, but there's so many sequences in this movie and some of the other ones that are just clearly not They don't have a full safety crew.
Right. Yeah. No, totally. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
There is a pivotal scene where they are trying to get the last car, and they're concerned that if they don't get the last car, they're not going to make the money. And if they don't make the money, then Mandrian's secretary / former street girl is going to be let go. And so they do this scene where he's walking around looking at all these different cars that are in the executive tower's parking garage.
Right.
And as the camera's panning, it keeps panning back to her at the desk. Obviously, she's concerned, like, my life could turn upside down if this doesn't happen. But they do such a poor job of setting up.
Oh, yeah.
How is her life going to change?
No idea.
That,
yeah.
It shot actually remarkably well to build tension. But because you don't have any real vested interest into her backstory or where she came from or where she could potentially land if this goes sideways, both my wife and I were like, I don't get.
Yeah, what's no, I don't know either. Here. I don't know any other character in this movie other than the main guy had a weird name that I saw later, like just in looking at the movie. And so I didn't even know that was his name in the movie. I know he says it, but it's such a weird name that I didn't pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know Eleanor, and that's the name of a car. And it's also like it's a credit early on in the film. And so you know Eleanor is there, but that's about the only names of the people in this movie that I knew. I didn't know anybody else.
Well, and Hawkins.
Absolutely.
Because they You're say right. Hawkins' name.
That's the only guy that I know. The cop friend of theirs that comes in at the time that they have the car with all the drugs.
Yeah.
That name is hilarious because he comes in and they're like, hey, Hawkins, what's going on? Oh, I'm just seeing what you guys are up to. Not much, Hawkins. Hey, Hawkins, we just got this car. This car, Hawkins, this is a car that we have that we're getting rid of, Hawkins. And it just, like, they use this name so much. You're like, okay.
They use it like Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Pepsi presents Hawkins.
I mean, certainly the people that work at Pepsi definitely use that in that way.
Hey, Pepsi. How are you doing, Pepsi? Oh,
everyone.
We're just hanging out, Pepsi.
Everyone is called Pepsi at PepsiCo.
Oh, man. What a movie.
What a movie. What a great start. This does give you, I think, also the other thing I was thinking was a great appreciation for like 70s exploitation action in that it has all the things. It's not very well constructed, as you were just going over to start. There's some scenes and some characters that you're like, who are they? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. We don't have either the money or the runtime to inform you of any of those things. Doesn't matter.
Check.
Mm-hmm.
The stunts are dangerous, mostly real. We don't have money for a safety team. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm.
It makes you kind of go, God, you know, the 70s action movies are kind of rad because they have some, they don't make them like that. They literally don't make, they can't make them like this anymore. It is profoundly unsafe to do so. So it really is a nice, it's a nice way to kick off the month because it is it's at least a very fun chase. And it made me think of like something like Bullet or something like that. But that is even a more, that is more of like your typical, not typical, but because I think it's still a great chase scene in Bullet, but that's still more of a like, you feel safe.
Yeah.
This movie feels like it could go anywhere because they seem to not care about trying to do anything. Like if they have the idea, they want to try to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Mark's Marvelous June is really started off with a bang.
Wait, there's some Marvel? There's some Marvel movies this time?
I think it needs to be Mark's Joyous June.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. See, that's why you're the genius.
No, it has to be all alliterative. So it has to be Jark's Joyous June.
That's right. J. Marks Joyous June. Pepsi presents J. Marks Joyous June. He goes by J. Mark in June only.
Oh, Pepsi Presents. Yeah, no, this is already started off with a bang, and I couldn't be happier with this choice.
whether or not the rest of the month will
no, it's have all this kind be, of response, it's all I don't be know. This kind of amazing response.
I don't know how many of the other movies we're going to be watching will have this amount of number one cars, which just has a lot of cars, and also the amount of Long Beach, California that this movie
no,
has.
No, that's true.
It is a combo true. That is unique to you that it, I don't know if any other movie will have, but we'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for this episode on Gone in 60 Seconds, Nearly New World. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Stick around for more of J. Mark's Joyous June as we... A.K.A.
Pepsi
June
presents.
Broom. Pepsi Presents. Thank you.
J. Mark's Joyous June.
Crack open a Pepsi and enjoy some more of our episodes. You can find them all at our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com, where you can find all the information about us, including our t-shirts. Go buy a t-shirt, please. Or tell a friend to listen to the podcast. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast. Bye, everybody.
There's time for more lyrics. Just look into your back seat. Do you need a tiger to watch you? Are you protecting some meat or some other things that are important to you? That are important to your family? Maybe you've got a nice chair or a beach towel. The tiger will watch it.